It's time for the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Good morning, I'm Jane Marie Schaefer.
And good morning, I'm Phil Vacchio.
And this is the Herzog Law Firm Estate and Medicaid Planning Show, where we discuss things about wills and trusts and powers of attorney. It's a call-in show. You can give us a call at 518-476-5900. We haven't had some calls in a while, and I've heard clients tell me, I listen, but I don't want to interrupt you and call in.
Interrupt us?
I know.
Come on.
Like, you can interrupt us.
We love calls.
That's right. We can multitask, I think. If you want to call in, that's great. So, good morning, Phil. How are you?
I'm good. I don't know if, I think I mentioned you, Jamie. I've been a bachelor again for the past 3 days. Well, not divorced people.
No.
My wife took the kids on a sporadic journey down to Maryland, D.C. to visit some friends. So, I've been flying solo for 3 days and I honestly don't know what to do with myself.
It must be really quiet, though.
Very quiet. And yes. I've realized a different stage of my life. Mm-hmm. Instead of going out and partying, I recorked the windows last night. So there's that. Yeah.
Well, that was because Jen would yell at you if you didn't have it done.
Possibly. Or the kids would be bothering me. So I figured, some time get it done. But I am going to go out today and meet some people and then
do
something, right? So.
Well, it was a good break before. So. Tell me what sports your kids are involved in for the spring.
Well, you're on point there because Kyle and my son's doing travel baseball for the first time. Like, not travel in a sense of like the surrounding cities. I think it's maybe like an hour radius total.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be 4 to 6 days a week.
That is intense.
Yeah, 4 to 6 days a week. It's going to be the commitment. And I gave him the whole talk. You know, this is a commitment for the whole family, not just you. And if you complain once, pulling that plug. We'll see how that goes, but I'm excited. He likes it and makes some new friends and whatnot.
Oh, baseball's so much fun to sit out and watch in the spring.
Yeah, although he had his first practice Tuesday, and what was it, Tuesday? 23 degrees.
Yeah.
It was at night.
Yeah.
It was freezing. So hopefully it warms up soon.
Hopefully. I think it's going to warm up this weekend.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be in the 70s next week.
There we go. That's what I want to hear.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, some true spring baseball is great sitting out there watching the games. So I'm excited for that.
That's wonderful.
Your kids play, what they play growing up mostly?
They did baseball.
Football
in the fall, baseball in the spring, soccer.
It's really important that you like the other parents of the kids in the team. So we'll see how that goes.
Yes.
I can make or break the experience, I think. We'll see.
The opinions expressed by Phil Vecchio don't necessarily.
Thank you, Ben. I need that.
That's right.
So we were talking a little bit yesterday, Jay Marie, and I mentioned the phrase that I say sometimes out loud, on occasion to my clients, more often I would say in my head to myself, but the phrase is, I wish you had called me sooner.
Yes, I know. That
happens
a lot.
Quite often.
Right. In
different variations, different scenarios, different reasons why we say that to ourselves or our clients, but it goes back to that phrase that we always say, plan now. Plan
That's
as
right.
soon as you can. Don't wait till crisis mode, because there's always less options when you wait. When you wait too long.
That's right. But most people don't. Most people procrastinate, and sometimes it's going to affect you badly. Like we'll talk about.
And understandably so. Like procrastination. You the things that you don't want to talk about. Like
right.
The negative things, which a lot of what we talk about revolves around the negative moments of life and planning for them. So it's not the most pleasant of thoughts or conversations to have all the time, but they're so important. They're so practical. And when you do wait and something happens, then sometimes you're stuck, or at least the options are worse than they would have been.
It's reminded me of a procrastination story. And Michael, I hope you're not listening, but before he graduated medical school, he had a paper, last paper due. He was at my office the day before graduation we were there after dinner.
Doing the paper.
Because he thought they wouldn't really make him do it, that he could graduate. And he's like, this is real.
An optional thing?
Optional, sure.
I don't think that's how school works. You thought he would have known by the end of medical school.
Yeah, you think so? He would have. So we were a little bit tired at graduation.
Yeah, I think we all remember those days of pulling the all-nighters for papers at school or whatnot.
Yes,
not,
that's right.
Not enjoyable times.
That's right.
Procrastination is no good, people.
It's not good.
So I thought we could throw back and forth some stories that we had. I had a few even just recently this week of when we said that phrase to ourselves.
Yes.
First one I had that came up was, we're going to be helping this family qualify their mother. So it's a sister and brother talking about them. Their mother's in a facility in a nursing home. And she's been there since September, October mm-hmm. of 2025. And I'm just talking to them for the first time now. And we're talking about, you know, what mom's assets are and what the options are to, you know, maybe get Medicaid, the government to pay for some of the nursing home care, which we both know and all our listeners know is extraordinarily expensive. You know, I think the average cost is now up to about $18,000 a month or so.
Yes.
In the capital region, right? Very, very expensive. And so during the conversations, I say, well, when she went in September, October, and, you know, was she covered for any period of time? And they were like, oh, well, she was private pay from almost the onset. Mm-hmm. And they've spent probably close to $80,000
already.
That's
over 6 months, right?
Yep. And in this case, I said, well, you know, here's what's left. Here's what we can do. If we had spoken back in September, October,
right,
I would have been able to protect a lot more of the money.
Yes.
And, you know, I wasn't saying it to rub it in, but just to explain to them how the process works, because they,
right,
the bill was actually, portion of it was outstanding still. So they still owe a lot of it. And I'm like, well, nothing we can do to make up for the past due bill, but here's what we can do to protect some of the money going forward. And obviously in this scenario, they didn't like to hear that part of it.
No, of course not. They could have saved more money. Right.
Right. They were happy to hear we could do something going forward and save some and, mm-hmm. you know, get Medicaid, the government to start paying for the care going forward. But it's one of those things where we could have done a lot sooner. Now, you know, in the scenario I'm describing, when there's money left, you know, tell the clients what we do here, like what, you know, what our options are.
So, I mean, a lot of clients know about the 5-year look back. So that's probably sometimes why they don't call us. They think, oh, we missed that opportunity. But there's another plan you can do where you could save about half of the funds.
Yeah.
I mean, half is certainly better than nothing. And you can do that plan last minute. So if you go into the nursing home, you have too much money, you haven't done any planning, we can save about half of the assets.
I think for many people, many different situations, people just assume that there's nothing I can do.
Right? Yep.
You think of things like Medicaid, and you think it's only if there's absolutely nothing left. If you're dealing with a facility, a nursing home or otherwise, mm-hmm. they're not going to tell you.
No.
They get paid more when it's private pay.
Right.
So they're going to say, well, listen, mm-hmm. once the money's gone, once it's running low, let us know and we'll help you. We'll help you apply for Medicaid.
They'll do the application. They're just not going to give you any great advice to save money.
No, they're not going to say, here, well, we can protect some of that money for you or go see an attorney. So a lot of times people just don't know because they haven't been this experience before, or no one's telling them, the nursing home's not telling them, and you know, somehow they make their way to us eventually. But sometimes it's when the money's already running low.
Right. Or sometimes people say, I hate this one, I make too much money to qualify for Medicaid.
Oh yeah, we hear that all the time. That's realistically, you have to make so much money. Like your income has to be so... When we talk about the average cost of a nursing home, $18,000 a month.
That's right.
If your income is
$19,000
a month, then okay. Yeah. You made too much money, but that's a very rare occurrence that we come across something like that. So anything beneath that, you know, how it works for our listeners, if we're in a nursing home and we get you on Medicaid, right? So there's the income prong of being eligible, income, and then resources.
Right.
So the resources have to be below a certain limit, about $33,000. And that's when we're talking about moving things around and protecting half. We're talking about protecting half of the resources that are left instead of just spending it until we're below $33,000.
Right.
But then there's the income prong. Mm-hmm. And you, like I said, unless your income's extraordinarily high, you can't necessarily make too much.
You can't make too much. I say you can't make too much because the nursing home's going to take all your income.
That's it. It's a contribution, if you will, right?
So they'll gladly take whatever you're making.
Oh, of course. I mean, so if Medicaid's paying for the nursing home, whether my income is $1,000 a month or it's $8,000 a month,
right?
that just often is what my contribution has to be
just
before.
Just offsets what Medicaid pays.
Medicaid pays the rest, yeah. And oftentimes it's much better than paying $18,000 plus per month regardless. Right. So
the sad thing is, and we talk about this a lot with my clients, is that they only leave you $50. Well, that's $50 a month by you.
When did they last increase that amount?
Never.
Like not during my practice. I don't know.
Not during my years. And
that's
over 30.
Crazy.
So it's always been 50.
What does $50 buy you now? Like I'm curious of the reasoning behind the $50, what it is now.
Well, maybe 30 years ago, probably would have been a decent amount of money.
I guess. Something. I mean, right. Literally.
You couldn't get your hair done for $50.
I was going to say, what does it cost to get your hair done nowadays?
You know,
as a woman, at least. I mean, men is somewhat
affordable.
I won't
disclose what I pay for my hair because people would be horrified.
If Michael's listening, you don't want him to know?
No. Yeah, no. Yeah. But what does a man's haircut cost?
It's $20.
Okay.
Yeah, 20 to 30, depending. But
right. So that only leaves you a little bit left over for,
yeah,
I don't know, candy.
Yeah. Can't even gamble at the track. Come on.
Yeah, you can't.
Not with $50
or
$25.
You got to win the first time or else it's
you're done.
Yep.
Yeah, I guess I might as well go home.
That's right.
So, yeah, I mean, they got to increase that, but that's the rule. And that is only for nursing home level Medicaid, what we call chronic Medicaid.
Right.
The rules are different for different types of Medicaid. Do you have one?
I do.
Let's hear it.
A similar type of situation where a client came in. The nursing home had advised them to, as they often do, spend down your money and we'll do the application. They had told them to spend down the IRA.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's a no-no. Well.
Right.
Just bad advice.
Just bad advice. So the mom had less than $33,000 other than the IRA. So to explain what's so special about the IRA.
Yeah, right. So when we talk about having $33,000, it's only for of countable non-exempt resources. And one of the big ticket items here that's an exempt resource is those retirement accounts, your IRAs, your 403Bs, your 401Ks. Mm-hmm. Even if I have $300,000 in my IRA, it doesn't count toward the $33,000 I'm allowed to have. Mm-hmm. It's protected for the most part. And for the facility to say you have to spend that down, not great.
It was about $200,000.
And they spent almost all of it?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Almost all of it.
See, that's a sad story.
That's a sad story because she would have been eligible right at the beginning if she had $30,000 in her checking account and $200,000 in the IRA. She could have gotten Medicaid right away.
Yeah, it's one of those things where the facilities just say, you know, go seek legal help. Or just
some of the facilities do. Let's not
a lot
on
do.
All of them.
A lot do. Yeah, a lot right. do. But that's a tough one, and I don't know. Did you say I wish you called me earlier in that one? Did you tell her what the other?
I did. It's a tough conversation.
I know. Because you know they're going to be disappointed and upset.
Right. They could have saved so much money, but
yeah. I mean, all they would have had to do, how that works, is protected. There is a required distribution portion of it. You know, they do a whole formula based on your age and life expectancy, which would count as part of their income that they'd have to contribute. But the whole principal amount in that account would have been protected and would have went to whoever the beneficiaries are one day when that person dies eventually.
Yes,
so
that's right.
That's a tough one, yeah.
Yeah, that's a tough one. It's always good to call, you know, even if we can't do anything. We'll tell you that. I mean, but you need to just have a consultation. Learn all your options. Don't assume that there's nothing to do.
Don't assume there's no options. Don't listen to the facility. Just, you know, contact the professional and see what
Please don't Google it, right?
Well, you can Google it to start with, but don't listen to Google. Hopefully just Google
or
some ideas to call an attorney.
Or ChatGPT or AI or whatever.
As advanced as ChatGPT is getting and in AI, it still doesn't take the place of professionals.
That's right. Who've really
Not
done
yet,
it,
at least.
Who's experienced it. There's so much wrong information out there.
And there's so many different scenarios. You know, you have to apply your set of facts and say, what are our options here? And there's so much that goes into it. Even if you're using AI, you might not be typing in the necessary prompts.
You may not giving it
the right information. Yeah.
That's right.
So that's where we can help.
That's right. We've done it before.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll be back with some more of these questions right after this break.
You've been listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. Join us every week to learn more about protecting the assets you've worked hard for, options available for Medicaid planning, and more. With offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany, Saratoga Springs, and 130 North Front Street in Kingston, our attorneys are here to help you. If you'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with David, Jane Marie, or Phil, please call us during normal business hours Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To contact us in Albany or Saratoga offices, call 518-465-7581 or our Kingston office at 845-338-6405. Let the Herzog Law Firm help navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm.
Welcome back. I'm J. Marie Schaefer.
And I'm Phil Vacchio.
And this is the Herzog Law Firm Estate and Medicaid Planning Show. We can still take your questions. You can give us a call at 518-476-5900. Tell us what's on your mind.
So both the scenarios we brought before the break, J. Marie, had to do with the world of nursing homes.
That's
and
right.
Qualifying for Medicaid and options that we would have had, more options we would have had if our clients had called us sooner. Mm-hmm. I'm going to switch for a moment to another scenario that's similar, mm-hmm. but a little bit different in the world of what we call community Medicaid.
Right?
So I had a client recently that has some, this is a younger gentleman, but he has some progressive type illnesses that make it, you know, most of the activities of daily life he can't do himself, and it's just getting worse. Right. And he has had private pay care in the house, you know, mm-hmm. aides that come in and help him do a lot of those things for years. For years now. And he's been bad for quite some time, but it's gotten even progressively worse. And the money is running really low, like dangerously low at this point. So he happened to see a presentation I did for some association, and it prompted his, you know, that whole education, you don't know what you don't know.
Right.
And I talked about community Medicaid, and he didn't know that was an option. And he assumed, like many people, mm-hmm. that, you know, Medicaid is for people who are completely impoverished and have no income.
Right.
Which is a variation of Medicaid, but not the long-term care types that we often talk about. Mm-hmm. So when he reached out to me and we talked about his finances and what his needs are, and they're getting progressively worse, we talked about doing community Medicaid for him. And, you know, the first part of it is similar to what we talked about before, where, hey, I could have preserved a lot more of those assets that you spent over the last mm-hmm. 3 years or so. I mean, talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars.
That's a lot.
That he had spent on the care where we could have at least subsidized, right? In the community Medicaid world of getting people care in their home, we can't guarantee that we're going to get Medicaid and it's going to cover 100% of it.
That's right. Okay, it may not cover all of your care, but it's an aid to it. So you may have family and friends who can do some care, and then you're going to get some care paid for by Medicaid.
Yeah, and then there might still be a private pay component, but it's going to be at a much lower level than if you're privately paying all of it. So now I had to explain to him and how community Medicaid works. It's a great program where we can get some of that care subsidized, but oftentimes it takes months before it's running smoothly. And
I would tell people about 6 months.
On average, I would say now at this point. And luckily in his case, it might go a little quicker because I did mention he has care in place already. Mm-hmm. And we think we're going to be able to get, you know, the aid that's been caring for him mm-hmm. qualified to be paid through Medicaid. Because mm-hmm. part of that lengthy process is finding the appropriate care.
Yes. And then once you find someone that you like, yeah, you want to stick with them.
Of course. That's the other thing, too. Like, he was saying to me, this is just like a daughter to me at this point. And, we have a good relationship and this and that. Mm-hmm. So we would hate to lose quality care when you're not guaranteed to replace it with other quality care. You don't know what you're going to get.
Right.
And sometimes we cycle through a bunch of aides before we find someone that someone really, connects with and has a right fit. So at least we have that here, that likely the person providing the care is going to be in place. Mm-hmm. But even then, so what that is, it's a program called Consumer Directed Care, where this individual will be his own employer. And instead of going through a managed long-term care company to place aides, mm-hmm. he's his own employer. Managed long-term care company. He's his own employer. He's hiring his own staff. The woman has to go through some formalities and fill out some paperwork.
Right.
Essentially, I think they have to get like a doctor evaluation or something of that mm-hmm. nature to make sure they're healthy and this and that. But it's pretty straightforward, and we're going to be able to get that person paid by Medicaid, or at least a portion, like we said, by Medicaid.
It's a, that program works out so well when you have a caregiver that you found yourself.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
Or that you want to find caregivers on your own. Just your, at CD Choices, we used to do an awards once a year for where the consumers, the people with the disabilities, would nominate their aides. And would get awards for, like, you know, the best. And the stories were just so amazing. They were like family.
Yeah.
Yeah. They just went over, above and beyond, you know, even the, beyond the hours they were being paid. So they would be checking in, doing things. They were there for that person all the time.
Yeah. I mean, I think you build a really close connection to these people, A, the people you're caring for, and B, if you're the person being cared for, you develop that relationship. And it's it can be very special sometimes.
Yes.
On the other side, we have our clients that just cycle through a bunch of different aides, whether it's because maybe the person, him or herself, is incredibly difficult. That happens sometimes.
That's
We've seen that.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it truly is. You're getting some really bad care.
Sometimes it may take a little while to find the right person.
Yeah.
Yeah, it has to be a match. I mean, it's you're not just employing someone like in an office. This person's in your home every day. So that has to be...
Yeah, sometimes it's a live-in, sometimes it's 12 hours a day, whatever it is. It's a huge portion of your life that you're spending with this person or these people.
So you have to like them, right?
You would hope so. It'll make life a little more enjoyable on both sides.
Yeah, just like we like everyone we work with.
And with that program, and we certainly do, Jaymarie.
Yes, we do, Phil.
And the other part of that too, you know, we talked about, you know, finding your own aid and whatnot. It could be family members. It could really be anyone but your spouse.
Right. It can't be your spouse because you made that vow, right? Till death do us part. You're supposed to take care.
I didn't know that was legal. I thought that was just like a religious thing, but apparently Medicaid takes that to heart.
They mean you have to take care of your spouse for free.
Darn.
Darn it. Right. I mean, the other thing about that story is it's so shocking that people don't know about community Medicaid.
In general. I mean, shocking to us because we hear it all the time, but...
But someone in a with a disability who's kind of been in that world for a while didn't know about community Medicaid as a resource.
Yeah, and that's right, you know, especially in this scenario. And, you know, you're not going to blame organizations. Who knows if this gentleman listened or attended the resource. But, like I said, he did meet me where he eventually did attend a resource that's part of the organization with the disability he has, where I presented about it, and that's where he learned. And yeah, you would assume, hey, you didn't learn about this years ago, but and then sometimes it's just the information not clicking. It's like, well, I have hundreds of thousands of dollars.
This can't apply
to me. There's no way it applies to me.
Yeah.
And just make that assumption and don't start thinking about it till the situation becomes a little more dire when the money's running out.
That's right.
So that's another one. That's the home care Medicaid world.
Yeah, it still shocks me every time I talk about that. I mean, every single time people say, I don't know about that program.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
It really is a great program. So.
Right. Yeah, because you want to stay home. No one wants to be in the facility. Yeah, that's
of course. Stay home as long as possible.
We talk about that every day.
So I had another one this week, not in the long-term care world, where I went out to Salem, New York. I've never been to Salem. Right on the Vermont border.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I know Salem, Massachusetts.
There's like,
I did not know Salem,
I've learned there's
New York.
10 Salems. I think everywhere has a Salem, apparently. So there's a Salem, New York, not too far from here.
But they didn't do witch burning in that Salem, did they?
No, that's not the witch Salem. That's the Massachusetts
Salem.
You people in Massachusetts do your witch thing. You guys stay over there. We don't do that in New York.
Yeah, it's like right on Route 22.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Exactly. Yeah.
Straight up from Hoosick Falls.
Oh, okay. Got
it. So Cambridge, up that way.
So I hadn't been there before, but I visited. I went to met a client at a bank out there. The bank representative, who was a great bank representative, noticed the need for some legal help and had connected me with the clients, and I met them at the bank. So convenient for everybody.
Yeah.
But it was a situation where they hadn't done any estate planning.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman who we're talking about, so there's a husband and wife, and their son was there. She had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I say out loud that someone was diagnosed with Alzheimer's and I'm going through the legal documents, people might assume, well, how could you do that? They don't have capacity.
That's right.
That's not always true, right? Yeah. There's very many different levels of progressive diseases.
Yes. Yeah. It's progressive. But in the beginning, you certainly have your wits about you and you have time to get things in order.
Yeah. And you know, I've had people that get diagnosed and then like 2 months later, they're completely incoherent. I've had people who are diagnosed and are pretty steady for years before they get progressively worse. There's no necessary rhyme or I'm not a doctor, but I don't think there's a rhyme or reason at all times of how quickly it's going to happen, and nobody really knows. And, you know, what happened here was they hadn't had a power of attorney in particular. They were talking about filing taxes. That kind of what prompted this, not being able to sign the tax return. And so I met with them, and the woman seemed generally okay. And we said, like, well, let's give it a try and get the power of attorney drafted really quick and then come in. And when it came time to the signing, she just, there was no way she was competent, unfortunately.
Oh, that's, yeah.
Didn't work out. And, you know, we talked about, you know, do you want to try again? Is she always like this? And they're like, this is what's typical. And unfortunately there, you know, for, part of it's like, all right, you're diagnosed with a progressive illness. Why do you wait 3 years before contacting an attorney? And
I mean, yes, you're focused on all the medical things, but you should be getting your legal things in order also.
And it's, you know, I'm not saying it's wrong on them, but it's one of those things where something like that happens. You want to look at every situation of your life and what should I be addressing now? And connecting yourself with support systems and resources.
Financial and legal, that's all part
of it. Financial, legal, accounting, all that stuff is part of it, and looking for your resources. You know, we deal with the Alzheimer's Association quite often, and they have many fantastic resources.
Yeah. Educational programs. Where they do talk about that, because that's time to get things done. You can still do a power of attorney if you're early on in your Alzheimer's disease.
Absolutely.
Power of attorney, healthcare proxy, and a will. You know, that's just basic. Everyone should get those done.
And I think some families, and this is an example, they get the diagnosis and they just shut down and become their own little unit, and don't look at the outside world. And like, all right, we'll deal with it within our family, and that's, we're going to keep it in the family, and that's it. And when you do that and don't expand your support system, A, you're not going to get the knowledge and education of things you should be considering. B, by the time it gets really bad, you haven't built that support system to be able to get the care that you need. And in the case here, even though there is a spouse and there's two children, because we can't sign a power of attorney, there's no one out there that has legal authority to do certain things.
I was just going to say that they probably thought they could handle things, maybe joint on a bank account, so they don't really see the need for the power of attorney away.
You get by with a lot of that stuff, right? You could do most things until something happens that's like, oh, I can't do that.
Yes, you may need to do something with a retirement plan or an insurance, life insurance policy, and you can't do that, so... So you can squeeze by for many years if you're just joint on the bank account and you sign the checks.
And it's really tough. Those situations, I don't love them as the attorney, because the whole family's looking at you.
I know.
And saying, well, why can't she just sign it? We'll guide her hand or this or that. And you have to say, well, first of all, I can't put my license on the line here. And, you know, legally speaking, she doesn't have capacity. And yeah, anyone could guide someone's hand to sign a document.
I know.
But
that's right.
There are certain levels of capacity, while it's not overly high, that you need to be able to sign these legal documents. And
you have to be able to understand it a little bit. I understand physically older people have a hard time signing, and that's okay.
Yeah. But mentally, the physical part's fine, right?
Yeah. You kind of need to know, oh, that's my son sitting there. He's going to take care of my finances. You know, you can't say, who is that person over there?
that's a bigger problem.
I've never seen them before in my life.
I've done signings with quadriplegics where have the person guide their hand, put the pen in their mouth, make an X. Your mark, you know, your signature is just your mark. It's not the physical aspect. It's knowing what they're signing is the issue sometimes. That is the issue. So in that case now, I explained to the family, really, you guys might be able to get on a little bit longer doing what you've been doing, but at some point, you may need to go for a guardianship.
Oh, the big G word.
Nobody likes to hear about that because it's, you know, expensive, time-consuming, stressful, the above. So plan ahead, right? That's the story of today.
That's right. Plan ahead. Don't wait to call your lawyer.
That's right. Have a good weekend, everyone.
Have a good weekend.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you would like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581 or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.